Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to talk today about the Trinity. This is a bedrock, foundational, doctrinal principle of the Christian faith. It's more than a principle. It's more than a doctrine. It is a reality. It is a fact. It is something you can stake your life on, something you can go and be assured of anywhere you go, and you can take it with you. And so you will be taking it with you for all eternity, whether you're in heaven or the other place. And so the Trinity is the foundational principle, the foundational existence of God in three persons. Well, the curious thing about the Bible is that nowhere in the Bible does the word Trinity appear as that particular word, and yet all through the Bible, starting in the first chapter of Genesis, as we're going to see, the concept and the reality of the Trinity is made known to us. And so if you just see it, if you understand it, if the Lord gives you understanding, you can understand it easily. It becomes so obvious after studying the Bible and meditating on the Bible, it becomes so obvious that at some point you will say, duh, and there it is, there it is. Why didn't I see it before? If you, as I spoke before, if you're coming from some other denomination, some cult, some religion that has no concept of the Trinity, it's a difficult concept at times to understand. And so there are people who struggle with it. There are people who don't know it. Even after they've been Christians for many years, they don't understand it. They don't have a good understanding and realization of the Trinity. And so I'm going to try to give some clarification and some illumination to the principle, to the concept today. There are many, many scriptures. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures today. There are many, many all through the Bible from front to back, all the way to the book of Revelation. And so if you study your Bible, you will gain an understanding. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with the concept of the Trinity, I encourage you to go to your Bible, study it. The book of John is especially good because John talked about the divinity of Jesus Christ, and he talked about his role coming to the earth as the Son and the Father who sent him. And so that's a very good book for you to study, but it's all through the Bible. And so we're going to look at some of the Old Testament scriptures to start off here today. Well, the first one is in Genesis chapter 1, and this is appropriate because this is the first chapter in the Bible, and so it's appropriate that God would bring up a concept that Jesus was there with him from the beginning, and that Jesus is God's Son. And so Genesis 1:26, when God is with Jesus in heaven, it says, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, the cattle of the hills, the birds of the air, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so there is the first mention. And so you can rely on that or say about that. That is the doctrine of first mention, that the time when it is apparent that God was not alone, Father God was not alone, when he was in heaven, when he had the idea, if that would be appropriate to say it that way, when he had the idea to create man in his own image and in his own likeness. He did not say, let me make man. He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And so it's obvious God had help from the beginning. He was not there by himself. And so Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there with him when God created man and when God created woman. And then another situation in Genesis 10, verse 7, it says, this is a situation where God was watching man make the Tower of Babel, and they were trying to build the tower up to the heavens. Some say that they were building a tower to look at the stars and practice astrology. Some say they were trying to go all the way to heaven and find their place in heaven and counter God, or you might say encounter God, contend with God. And so in Genesis 11:7, the scripture appears and it says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, or thereby confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so God was watching these people, Nimrod and them, build the Tower of Babel, and he knew that they could do anything that they purposed to do in their minds, because they could communicate with each other, they could plan out and cooperate and communicate with each other. And so he said to Jesus, "Let us go down and therefore confuse their language," or thereby confuse their language, "that they may not understand one another's speech." And it was at that time that God confused the languages. And you know, there are approximately, I would say, 8,000 or 10,000 languages on the earth today, and have been since that time, that it's very difficult for people to communicate with each other if they have not ever heard or learned their languages of the people they're trying to communicate with. Here in Kenya, we have 42 separate tribal groups, and each one of those tribal groups has clans and sub-tribes and sub-clans. And I work with the Luhya people out here in Westland, or in West Kenya, the high west area of Kenya. It's a bit mountainous out here, and very lush, very green, lots of rainfall, lots of tropical fruits, and very lush grasses and tropical flora and fauna. And even here, the Luhya people have 17 different clans, or 17 different dialects of language in this area. So you can imagine, all across Kenya, all the different numbers of dialects and tribal groups that speak different languages. And so it's very, very difficult to learn. I'm trying to learn some Swahili, but there is some even variation in Swahili from one group to another, and from one country to another. And of course, the Luhya language, the 17 different dialects, are even more difficult to learn, because only the Luhya, for the most part, know them. And so they're not easily taught or easily communicated to other groups. And so in that passage of scripture, God makes it clear that he was not working alone. He was with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. "Come, let us go down." Well, Genesis 3:22, the first prophecy about Jesus coming appears in Genesis 3:22. This is after the fall of Adam and Eve. And there's a prophetic word spoken over Adam. And he said, "Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us." He's speaking about Adam. "The man has become like one of us." He didn't say like me. He said like one of us, "to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." And then in verse 23, he said, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden, sent Adam out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." And so from that passage of scripture, we also understand that God was not acting alone. There was somebody there with him. And he said, "Behold, this man has become like one of us." And so he said that Adam now had the not just the experience, but the capability to know good and evil. And that was not God's will. He wanted the perfection of the garden, the perfection of the creation, to be with Adam. But he gave Adam and Eve choice. And in that choice, they chose to listen to the enemy. They chose to listen to the devil. And so they made a bad choice. And as a result of that came the fall of all mankind. And we have sin, we have pain, we have suffering, we have confusion, and we have people even today, every single day, who choose to follow the devil. and choose not to follow the Creator, the one who created them. But God gave each and every person that choice, and see, so even today, that choice is still available to every single person. Well, there's many other scriptures that could be spoken, could be applied. Here in Psalm 110, we have one that is very important, and this is a psalm of King David, Psalm 110, verse 1. David says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And so what is David saying here? He's saying, the Lord said to my Lord. He's saying, the Lord God said to my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did David know that Jesus was up there with God in heaven? Well, David had been given revelation. He'd been given dreams and visions. Somehow he knew that there was Jesus Christ. Jesus had appeared to him somehow, the angel of the Lord, and made David aware that Father God was not up there in heaven by himself, that there was another entity, another person, another God there with him, and that God also was God, and that God was Jesus Christ. And David calls them both Lord. He says, the Lord, and that in situation he's calling the Lord God, Jehovah God. He said, the Lord Jehovah said to my Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand, sit at Jehovah's right hand till I make your enemies, Jesus, your footstool. Then in verse 2, the Lord Jehovah God shall send the rod of your strength, Jesus, out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies, Jesus, rule in the midst of your enemies. Then in verse 4, the Lord Jehovah God has sworn and will not relent. Jesus, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And verse 5, the Lord Jesus is at your right hand, Jehovah. The Lord Jesus is at your right hand. Jesus shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. And so that may be a bit confusing. I hope I conveyed it to you so that you can understand it. But David keeps going back and forth between two lords and two yous. And he understands, David understands that there are two entities, two persons up there in heaven. And he is making a distinction between the two different lords, the two different yous. And how did David know that? Jesus didn't appear on the earth till 1,000 years or so after David was king. I don't know the exact number, but it was many centuries after David was king, maybe 1,500 years. Jesus appeared as a man on this earth, and people could see his divinity then. People could see that Jesus was not a normal man, that he was God, and that he had attributes, peculiar characteristics that other men did not have. And yet David here, 1,500 years or so before Jesus appeared on the earth, David knew that there was a Messiah, that there was a Jesus. He didn't probably know him as Jesus. He probably knew him as the angel of the Lord. But David knew there was God in two persons. And of course, David also probably knew about the Holy Spirit, because he was anointed king of Israel when he was a young boy, a teenage boy. And so he knew about the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so David was aware of God in three persons, the Trinity, and he was aware of it, and he was able to talk about it and explain it in a way that we can know that David understood it. Another scripture similar to that is in Psalm 22. This is also a psalm written by David, and it shows the understanding David had of the Trinity, of Jesus being with the Father. And this is a prophetic of Jesus on the cross, and it was spoken by David again 1,500 years or so, I'm not sure the exact time frame, but many, many centuries before Jesus came incarnate as a man and walked on this earth. And so David is speaking about Jesus and the prophetic of Jesus hanging on the cross. In verse 8 in Psalm 22, it says, Jesus, he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in Yahweh. Let Yahweh rescue him. Let Yahweh rescue Jesus. Let him deliver him. Let Yahweh deliver Jesus, since he, Yahweh, delights in him, Jesus. Verse 9, but you, Yahweh, are God, who took me, Jesus, out of the womb. You, Yahweh, made me, Jesus, trust while on my mother's breasts. Verse 10, I, Jesus, was cast upon you, God, from birth, from my mother's womb. You, Yahweh, have been my God. Jesus is speaking that now. You have been my God. But you, God, O God, do not be far from me. Jesus is speaking. Do not be far from me. O my strength, Yahweh, hasten to help me. And so this is Jesus hanging on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus spoke seven different things or so on the cross. And he was speaking to his Father. He was speaking to his Father God. And Jesus was fulfilling his role as man incarnate, as God incarnate as man, hanging on the cross for our sins. And he shed his precious, perfect blood for you and for me, that we could know him, know Father God, Yahweh, for all eternity. And so Jesus is speaking, and David sees all this. David knows all this. He was given revelation of it. And again, this all happened and was revealed to David many, many centuries before Jesus came to the earth and fulfilled his role as the man hanging on the cross, the Son of Man hanging on the cross. Well, Isaiah 9:6 is a prophecy by Isaiah. And again, this is 700 years or 800 years before Jesus walked on the earth. Isaiah was one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. But Isaiah was given special revelation of the coming of Jesus. It's all through the book of Isaiah. Many, many prophecies. I don't know how many, but many, many prophecies of the coming Messiah, of Jesus hanging on the cross, of his death, of his birth. Isaiah 53 is a very, very powerful prophetic scripture of Jesus. And in Isaiah 6, it gives the description of Jesus and the names of him at the time of his birth. And this is a very famous passage of scripture. Isaiah 9:6 is in Handel's Messiah. That's probably the most famous use of this scripture or application of this scripture. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so there are five names right there given to the child that is to be born. And so Isaiah was given revelation that this child that is to be born is actually God. He is actually the incarnate form of God, the incarnate revelation of God. And so these names apply not only to Father God, Jehovah God, easily, and they are Father God's names, but they are also the names for Jesus Christ. He will be called Wonderful. Well, we know if you are a believer, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know how wonderful it is to walk with the Lord. You know how wonderful it is to say, Jesus, you are my Lord. You have saved me from the pit of hell. You saved me from my sins. And so we have a peace about us. We have a joy about us that we can't have if we don't know Jesus. And also Jesus is our counselor. We can go to him in every situation. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And so there is no situation that you can't take to Jesus. You cannot find Jesus with a deaf ear to any situation. He loves us. He cares about us. He has great compassion for every trial, every tribulation, every pain and sorrow that we go through. And so he is the mighty counselor. And you can go to secular counselors. You can even go to Christian counselors. And they have some understanding possibly of your problems and can give you some help. But I can guarantee you, beloved, if you spend time on your knees and you spend time in God's word, letting God's word counsel you, and that is Jesus, the word became flesh, and you let that word counsel you and you pour out your heart to Jesus. If you have problems in your life, if you have anxiety, if you have stress, struggles, fear, anything else in your life, you pour out your heart to Jesus, you will be comforted. You will be given peace through that counseling session that no earthly person can give you. And then Isaiah says he is mighty God, mighty God. Well, we know Jehovah our Father is mighty God, but we also know Jesus Christ is mighty God because he is the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so it is appropriate and very good and perfectly okay to call Jesus mighty God. And this is where many people get tripped up. They think, well, how can there be three gods? Well, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is just the way God is. I am that I am, says God. There's some things, some mysteries that we will never understand until we see Jesus face to face. And there are inexplainable things, inexpressible things that man cannot comprehend, man cannot explain. He's not smart enough, intelligent enough, or have great enough understanding, because we are created beings. We are created by Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we are the clay and they are the potter, and we will never understand them totally until we see Jesus and God face to face as we enter heaven. Then things that we have not understood before will be made clear to us, and we will have all understanding that we never had here on this earth. And Isaiah says he's the everlasting Father. Well, Jesus is everlasting, just as Jehovah God is everlasting. They were not born at any one particular time like we are, and they will not die as we will die here on the earth. And so Jesus is the everlasting Father. He is just as much our Father as Jehovah God, Yahweh, is. And he is our Father because he is our loving, caring Messiah, and he cares about us just as Jehovah God and Father God cares about us. And of course, then Isaiah calls him also the Prince of Peace. If you have Jesus in your life, you have peace and you have joy unspeakable. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so when we have Jesus, we don't need to fear, we don't need to struggle, we don't need to have trouble in our life. You turn all your troubles over to Jesus. He gives you answers, he gives you peace, he gives you joy, and ultimately even the nations can be at peace when Jesus and the Christian faith take a hold in a nation, take a hold in a city, take a hold in a family. Then peace and joy comes to that family. I've seen it in my own ministry. I've seen it that the Word of God comes into a place. It transforms villages. It transforms cities. It transforms nations. And Psalm 2 says that the inheritance of the Lord Jesus is the nations of the earth. And so it is God's will that we go out and claim the nations for the kingdom of God, that we claim the nations, and that we spread the news of the gospel, spread the joy of the gospel to people in every nation, that they could come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, abide with him, serve him, love him. And so that is God's will. And so the Prince of Peace is not only applicable for our own individual life, but also for the nations of the earth. And beloved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this day, today, I urge you to get down on your knees and pour your heart out to Jesus. No one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so you have to go through Jesus. You have to go through his shed blood on the cross, which covers your sins. It covers my sins. You have to repent and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, be Savior and Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways, and I want to follow you all the days of my life from this time forward forevermore. Well, if you make a decision such as that, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, my email, or you can just speak it to another person, make your confession to another person, get involved in a good Bible-believing church, and get started on your Christian walk, on your walk with the Lord, and Jesus will reveal the things that you don't understand about the kingdom of God. He will reveal those things to you through the Holy Spirit, and you will abide with him, not just on this earth, not just as you walk around in your life here on this earth, but also for all eternity, as God has ordained it for you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite you to support this ministry, the ongoing projects in Africa. As I speak, I'm coming to you from Kenya, and I will be preaching a crusade in Nairobi, Embakasi district in Nairobi next week. And so I ask for your prayers for that, special prayers for that, that many would come to know the Lord Jesus, people would be touched, healed, and delivered. And so I ask for your prayers for that. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.